I desire interest in your prayers again. Just look into some of the Word for a little while. A little burden the Lord placed on my heart. My name is Michael Williamson. I'm from LaRonge, Louisiana. I'd like to turn to the book of Exodus, the 6th chapter. And I'd like to read, I guess, beginning with the first verse through the third. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. God had spoken with Moses and let him know that it was time for some things to change for the Israelites. I guess the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak, is when Pharaoh increased the burden on the Israelites. They were making brick and straw was being gathered for them. Now the time came that he saw that these people were entertaining some other things, that it appeared that they had idle time on their hands because they were talking about this God. Pharaoh had heard about that. So to try to short circuit that, he had said, I'm going to require the same amount of brick from you, but you're going to gather your own straw. Well, that was difficult for them, and it would be difficult for us if we were placed under that burden. And the Scripture tells us that the Lord hears the cry of those who are being done wrong. Now, we know that part of the plan of God was for them to be in that place of bondage for that 400 years and to build a strong nation while they were there. So now the Lord has reached a point where He is about to fulfill some promises. And He is going to cause Pharaoh, after long, hard work, cause Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go. He said, with a strong hand shall He let them go, and with a strong hand shall He drive them out of his land. God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. Think of the promises that God made to Abraham, all that He had told him that would be accomplished. He had told him He'd make of him a great nation. He had given him visions and said, as the sea is, as the sand is by the seashore, so shall your seed be. And Abraham as yet had no child, but he counted God faithful. Well, now, here's this family. A large family that's grown up down in Egypt. The plan of God. And he said, God says to Moses, I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. I read in Clark's commentary about this little verse because it was curious to me. By my name Jehovah was I not known to them. So I looked that up and I was curious to what he had to say. And the words there, of course, this word Jehovah is one that the Jewish nation, they won't use this word. It's in all caps in our Bible. It's a very deep description of who God is. To this point, He was known as God Almighty, one that could do anything that He wanted to do. But now He's about to fulfill all the promises that He made. And as I read Clark's commentary, his interpretation of this word Jehovah was the accomplishment of promises already made. the accomplishment of promises already made. God is eternal. God is able to do anything that He wants to do. So now He is about to fulfill these promises, the accomplishment of the promises made. God saw, looking way down through time, that this time was coming. You remember the vision that He gave to Abram when he was guarding the sacrifice. And it said, "And horror of darkness came over him." And there were things that God allowed Abraham to see that he didn't understand at all. But Abraham, God was letting him see forward several hundred years for that time of darkness for those children of Israel down there in Egypt. And now the Lord is about to fulfill His promises. Joseph said, when he died, he said, "Carry my bones up with you. Don't leave me here. Carry up my bones with you." Joseph had some understanding of what was coming. He didn't know when, but he had some understanding of it. So now the children of Israel are released. Pharaoh turns them loose. And they have the opportunity to leave the land of Egypt and go out into the wilderness there, and opportunity to cross over into the land of Canaan. We're fast forwarding several years here, a lot of time. But they had an opportunity to pass over into this land of Canaan, and they balked on that. So the Lord caused them to wander for 40 years there in the wilderness. Moses died and another one was raised in his stead, Joshua. And during the time of Moses, God gave the law. He gave the commands of all that was to be accomplished and followed by the Israelites while they were in their journey. He gave them the Ten Commandments, and He gave the different laws concerning neighbor and property rights and animals and how to treat each other. He gave them all of these things to abide by. When the Israelites had left Egypt, at some point they looked back and saw that Pharaoh was following hard after them, and they were concerned and said, "You've just brought us out here to die. We're not going to be able to escape this. We'll stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." The Lord caused that sea to collapse upon Pharaoh and his army. On the other side of that, they got over there in the wilderness. They were hungry. "Have you brought us into this wilderness to die? Well, let's wait and see what the Lord will do." So He sent manna. He gave indications of His power and His working with the Israelites and leading them and directing them. He caused them to see that He was with them, that He was going to be their God, and for their priest. He gave evidence of Aaron's priesthood by the rod. Remember, there was a little controversy about who was going to be their leader, who was going to be their priest. The Lord said, "Take all your rods into this one place, and the one that buds, that'll be the one." It was Aaron's rod that budded. God gave His law. And now we come to the book of Joshua, where the Israelites are now about to make another attempt to go over into the land of Canaan. Beginning with the third chapter of the book of Joshua. "Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it.'" The ark of the covenant. I remember reading about the instructions concerning the ark and what the Lord said, how He said to build it. And He told Moses that there were some certain ways to go about it, but what stands out in my mind about it is that some instructions about the mercy seat to be above the ark. And above the mercy seat were cherubims. And that there was, the Lord told Moses, "I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat." There was something within the Ark of the Covenant, in the Ark of God, that exhibited power. Remember the articles that God instructed them to place in the ark. The pot of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the testimony, or the law. These were things that were directly given by God. This was the Word of God. This was the sustenance of God. This was the proof of God in leading and working with and dealing with His people. The manna was something that they desperately needed to sustain themselves. All of those people in that wilderness, they cried for food. They said, we don't have, there's nothing here for us to eat. But God, in accomplishing the promises that He had already made to their forefathers hundreds of years before, said, I have manna for you. I have something for you. I have care for you. I've already got a plan devised for you. So He gave them manna. Inside of that ark was the pot of manna, the testimony, or the law, and the rod that budded. Now they're about to cross over into the land of Canaan and go into, cross over Jordan, go into the land of Canaan. The ark, when it begins to move, the Levites bear it, and you go after it. And let's look at this fourth verse. Joshua 3, verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Have you ever been in a place where you heard the saying, you can't see the forest for the trees? When you're in a place where there's a big crowd, a throng, you see a mass of people, but really to see individuals in that, you're pressed to readily pick out individuals because of there's so many people around you. Now, I'm a country boy. I live out in a rural area. And I like people. I like quietness too. I'm not used to the hustle bustle of cities and crowds. I'm not used to that. So when I'm in a place where there's a crowd of people or a lot of noise and a lot of hubbub going on, I'll be honest with you, I get a little bit jittery, a little nervous about that. But there's I've been in those places where the saying, well, you can't see the forest for the trees. I've been in places like that where I didn't feel like I could really tell all that was going on. Well, the Lord gave instructions to these people as they were about to leave this land of bondage and go in to this land of freedom that flowed with milk and honey. He said, I want you to go. I want you to follow. I want you to be there. I want you to know that the ark is what you need to follow as you go. But I want you to keep a distance between yourselves and that ark. Do you know how easy it is to get lost? I would rather keep a little distance between myself and the person I'm trying to follow so I can anticipate the move to make. I remember one time in a city, traveling in a vehicle with somebody, going through some traffic. Again, one of those areas that I'm not very comfortable with. Quite a bit of traffic, several lanes of traffic. We had an accident. The officer came to the scene. There were three cars involved. The officer came to the scene and everyone started giving their reasons for what happened. And the officer stopped and he lined all three of them up and he said, you were driving too fast and following too close. You were driving too fast and following too close, and you were driving too fast and following too close. If you had left enough room between you and the vehicle in front of you, you could have reacted to what you saw happening there. Yes. Folks, there are things that God has for you and me that only we will observe, that we have to realize there are some things that we've got to keep a distance from God. The Scripture tells us that the secret things belong to Him. I understand that we need a close relationship with Him. But we also need to realize that God gave specific instruction that when that ark was moving and it started tottering a little bit, don't put your hand to it.
That's right.
When He gave command on how it was to be built, He said, I want you to put rings in the side of it. And I want you to have staves to run through there. And I want your people, when they carry it, to carry it by the rods, not the ark itself. There were precious things there. God Himself inhabited that. It was His presence, and He didn't want man interfering with that. And He gave instruction to these people. I want you to follow it. When you see the priests move and the Levites move, I want you to follow it, but keep your distance. You know, I believe if we're not careful, as we try to, in our relationship with the Lord and with each other and handling the gospel and teaching and working with souls, working with people, working with children, if we're not careful, we can put ourselves in the place of playing God. What the Lord wants us to do is follow Him. He wants us to be in a place to where we're close enough to see what's happening. We're close enough that we know what's going on, but we're far enough away that if we see that arc go over... You ever been in a place where, you know, the car goes down a dip and you wonder, is there a turn there that I'm going to miss? But if you've got enough distance and you see it coming up the other side, you know it's all right. Everything's still okay. You see the turn signal come on, you know to anticipate the turn. It's hard to see all of those things when you're so close. When you're so close. I've been a driver for a little over 23 years. And some of the most important lessons that I have learned in driving has been keeping a proper following distance. Allowing there to be a cushion of space between you and the vehicle in front of you, behind you, and beside you. We need a close relationship with the Lord. We need to be able to hear His still, small voice. We need to be able to respond and react when the Lord moves. When the Lord moves. Only when He moves. Only when He has given instruction to move. Not when we say it's time to move. I remember being in a place, it was not long after I got saved. There were some things that I didn't understand as a young person. I wanted to do right. I wanted to follow the Lord. I wanted to live for Him. I wanted to incorporate those things in my life that were like Him. And I wanted to do it right. I wanted to understand. I was just like anybody else. There were things that I did not understand. There were things I needed the Lord to help me to see and help me to grow into. I needed some understanding in it. And I wanted to do the right thing. And there were things that I was willing to do because somebody would tell me to. But I have found out that the best way for a person to respond and react to things of standards of the doctrines of the Word of God is when there is a conviction that comes from the Lord over it. I put into practice different things in my life because I knew it was right things to do. But I didn't see the essence of that until God spoke to my heart and gave me convictions about it. Then it became something I could, as the saying is, hang my hat on. I look back and say, that's what I needed. The Lord led me by this place. He helped me to see this. There were things also, I remember, that, testifying here for myself, or against myself, in my own zeal, trying to push or force on someone that they weren't ready for. Several years ago, I read this little passage and I sat down to think and I said, Lord, I know why this is here. You want us to follow You. You want us to sense Your movement. You want us to know the way to go. But You don't want us to stay too close, get too close, that we start trying to take things into our own hands. The moment we start trying to take things into our own hands is when we start hurting people. We start damaging souls. We start hurting ourselves. We start putting ourselves in a position to be hurt. We start putting ourselves in a place to be lifted up or exalted. You remember what the instructions were that when the ark was riding on the cart, and that little cart was being jostled along the way there. And I can understand appreciation and respect for the Ark of the Covenant and what was in it. I can understand that. But God had given specific instruction to never touch that ark. Oh, folks, God is well able to take care of those things. That He made the pot of manna. He gave the law. He made Aaron's rod bud. God is well able to take care of all of those things. He's well able to preserve those things that need to be preserved. He's well able to preserve those things for you and me that I need to know in my life. He's well able to take care of that thing. I know He uses humans to help accomplish His work here, but we've got to stay in the will and the order of the Lord. God is well able to take care of those things, and we've got to be very careful about putting our hand out to steady that ark. Because when those two men did, they fell down dead. When the Lord was giving the law, He gave specific instructions to Moses concerning that mount. And that mount trembled and it shook and it quaked, and thunders and lightnings. It was a dreadful sight. And the Lord said, don't you let anyone come near it. Don't you let anyone touch it. No man nor beast. Anyone that should would be thrust through with a dart. Folks, God is very serious about those things that belong to Him. Those secret things that belong to Him, He's very serious about those things. And He has those things in His control and in His care. And we must be careful how we try to approach to those things. I've often wondered. I had someone ask me one time. I was in a place. I've been not myself near death, but I've been near death. Beside the bedside of those who were dying, more times than I've wanted to be. But I remember one time in particular. And I've sat there and I've prayed and I've meditated. I've thought about the things that are going on when life is slowly leaving this human body. And I've wondered, is it dark? Is it bright? How much interaction is there with spiritual things? I remember reading the scripture when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and before He reached that place, the passionate prayer He prayed in the garden, if it's possible, Lord, let this thing pass from me. And while He was on the cross, the scripture says that He cried with a loud voice, my God, why have You forsaken me? And He took His last breath and yielded up the ghost. I don't know all the things that go on inside the spirit and the mind when those things are happening. God does. God knows. But I've sat there beside those bedsides and I've wondered, I've thought, what can I do here? I feel so helpless, so powerless. I can pray and ask the Lord to have mercy, but these things are out of my control. They're in God's hands. There's a soul here that's about to leave this body, and I sit there and I have chills and my knuckles are white and I'm wondering, how is all this taking place, Lord? This is so serious. A soul is going out into eternity here, and I pray to God it's clear and clean and ready to meet You, and I can't do a thing to stop the process. So helpless. And I remember the question I was asked as this individual was in the very final stages. What do they see? What are they seeing? How could I answer a question like that? Those things are in God's hands, folks. God gives life. God takes life. We have to be ready for that moment. I couldn't begin to try to enter into that place and say, and try to give answers for that time, because I would just be fanciful imaginations. But I know that there is one that does know. I know that there is one who has said that He'll be with us all the way, even to the end of the world. I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I'll be with you in every valley you walk through. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. I don't know what that journey is all like. But there are things like that that we face in life that only God has the answers for. Only God has the help for. And I need to recognize that and step back and let Him have His way. Let Him work. Be encouraged this afternoon to trust God. Be encouraged to let Him have His way. Be encouraged to follow Him. Realize that He has given us some commandments. He's given us some strictures to abide by. He told these people here, you've never passed this way before. You've never gone down this path before. And as we're facing those places in our lives where we've never passed this way before, I have to realize, Lord, I don't know the answers. I don't know the way out here. I don't know what's coming of this. I don't know the direction it's going to take. But I know that You know. I'm going to follow Your ark. And I'm going to follow at a safe distance, Lord. I want to be able to see when it moves. I don't want to be following so close that if it stops, I bump into it. I don't want to be following so close to the side that if it turns into me. Folks, I've got to keep a distance between me and the Lord. I can't play God. I can't assume and presume upon His mercies. I have to be able to be in a place where I not allow it, allow myself to presume and assume what God is trying to do. I believe that's the essence of why the Lord told these Israelites, you keep a distance between you and that ark. About 2,000 cubits. You keep that space, and that's a safe space for you. You'll be able to see, you know. Now think of this, folks. I've thought about it myself, being in this place. When it came time to cross that river, that river wasn't divided before they got there. They had to step into it first. Do I have that much faith? Step into that river. The Lord said He's going to make a way to cross that river, but my feet have got to get in that water first. Now, I don't know if they stepped in and halted or if they just kept marching. My fanciful mind says they kept marching. And that God opened that. There wasn't any hesitation on their part. And those people who were following behind it could look on that scene and say, that river just parted. God has the accomplishment of promises already made. Jehovah has moved and worked just like He said He would, just like our ancestors have told us that He would. He told us this day would come, and we walk to this river, and the priests step in, and the water divides, and they walk across on dry ground. And those people who are behind the ark, about 2,000 cubits, say, you know, that looks like a safe way to follow. That's a safe path to go. I could imagine it if you were following so close to that ark, could you imagine the heartbeat? Could you imagine the racing of the heart as you get closer and closer and closer, and you know that here we are at this river's edge, but standing back a ways and witnessing what's going on before you, all the relief, the praise, the gratitude that would well up in your heart from knowing God's in control. He's got this thing in control. He's doing just what He said He would do. Folks, God's true to His Word. We never have to worry about that. He is true to His Word. He is faithful. He's safe to trust. We can put our confidence in Him. Let's be encouraged to follow Him at that safe distance and maintain our integrity in our walk with the Lord and let Him lead us along the way. You pray for me.